We now had a wood stove, and as I looked at the kitchen stoves, refrigerators, and many other appliances in today's kitchen, I marveled how we turned out such good food on what we had to use. All the time spent in keeping wood in the stove and guessing temperatures while cooking extended the entire process considerably. Grandmother Hilburn was a wonderful cook. All her recipes were in her head. I never saw a cookbook as I was growing up. Although I did not inherit her beauty, I did inherit her joy of cooking and of reading. 1913, Hollywood was established as the film capital of our nation. Beginning in 1926, the introduction of sound pictures revolutionized the entire motion picture industry. The first film to use a sound accompaniment of recorded music was Don Juan, released in August 1926. I cannot remember whether or not I saw that movie, but I do recall some of the early actors and actresses, for example, Charlie Chaplin and Mary Pickford. The Princess Theater was operated by Mr. Joe Varnell, and before the beginning of recorded music to accompany the movie, Mr. and Mrs. Varnell would play at intermission. She played piano and he violin. They were accomplished musicians. Time moves on, and I was ready for Piedmont High School, grades 7 through 12. It was exciting and different. Changing classes was new, and one of our first assignments was to memorize the school alma mater. The school was new, and each Friday morning at a designated time, the entire student body and all faculty members met in the auditorium. There was always a good program planned, beginning with reading from the Bible and a prayer. There was a beautiful stage, and during my years there, I participated in many of the programs. We had many plays in grammar school, but did not have a nice place to perform. Financial worries were a big problem, as Mother no longer worked even part-time in the mill. Much to her sorrow, she had to tell me that Daddy had become a heavy drinker. In talking to his mother a short time before her death, she revealed that Daddy had had a drinking problem in his early youth. He had quit attending church and associated with other drinkers. Daddy worked first shift, and Mother wanted to return to work on a regular basis. They thought her working second shift would be good arrangement to have someone home for Evelyn and me at all times. One Friday night, the work called up, so employees went home early. When Mother got home, unexpectedly, Daddy and several of his drinking buddies were in the kitchen just about drunk. Evelyn and I were asleep in the adjacent bedroom. Mother told me that she could no longer trust him to take care of her children. She submitted her resignation and still clung to the hope of being able to see her daughters through high school. Her dream of college for us had to be set aside. The first time I saw Daddy drunk was very traumatic. I thought he was dying. In fact, I had never before seen anyone drunk. Mother grieved so much about this that life was never the same. Each weekend, he would get drunk, but somehow when Monday morning came, he went to work. Mother's alarm about this terrible situation was exacerbated by the fact that the meal had a rule as follows. First time jail for drunkenness, suspended without pay 3 weeks. Second time, termination. We prayed and talked to him with no avail. Of course, we did not understand then, as people do today, what control alcohol has on an individual. We tried to protect Edwin as much as possible from this. But as time went on, this was not possible. Of course, our worst nightmare came true. Daddy was jailed for public drunkenness. Grandfather went with Mother to get him out. 3 weeks without pay, no income, was impossible to deal with. Roy, Mother's brother, loaned her $15, and she thought with our garden she could stretch it over that time. She continued to sew for others and make it a beautiful dress would only bring in 50 cents. People very rarely ever had a pattern. They would cut out a picture and say, make it like this. Roy married Terry Young to Mary Hensley, and they now had 3 children. Mother had been doing their sewing and worked out a $15 loan through this means. Jill dropped out of school early and at age 17 eloped with a 27-year-old man named David Payne from the ball play community. She left all her good life to go live in the country. Jill never did all the hard work Mother did. David built a 2-room house. There was no indoor plumbing, but was a type of indoor lighting called Delco. I liked David. He was not a talkative person, but Jewel's change in her lifestyle was difficult for her. She even pretended to like me and wanted me to visit her in the summer. She was lonely, and I went along with this, hoping she had changed toward me. After going to high school and knowing how hard it was for Mother to pay for my piano lessons, I asked her to allow me to stop. Mrs. Joseph E. Allgood, Jr. was my teacher, and I had just gotten to the point and age that music could really open up for me. I pretended to Mother that I no longer cared for it and hoped this would make her feel better about the situation. All this time I had continued to teach Evelyn. At age 5, she could read, write, add, subtract, read the notes on the line and spaces of music, and play some beginning music on the piano. A child in the neighborhood, about 2 years older than she, played school with her every afternoon and went over the reading assignment. And this accelerated Evelyn's reading skills. She still loved to sing and has continued to all her life. Our piano was a self-player. This part was actuated by the gradual unwinding of a perforated music roll and worked by the pumping of 2 foot pedals. I would put a music roll in place and she would sing, Holman gave me a good workout, and she and I were both happy doing it. When school started in September, Evelyn would not be six until November. I asked Mother to let her go to school. Evelyn wanted to go, and she was well prepared for it. Mother had some hesitation, but agreed. I was so proud to take her to enroll her in the first grade. At that time, enrolling was very simple. I just told the teacher, Ms. Ruth West, that she was my sister, and ran on to the high school, which was very close by. Evelyn could give all the other information as to name and birthday. Beginning about age three, Evelyn frequently would be taken suddenly very ill with high fever and vomiting. Our family doctor thought it was a kidney problem. At that time in history, we did not have all the diagnostic and medical care that we have today. Unfortunately, she had so much trouble with this while in first grade that she had to be out a lot. I would keep her up to date by getting her assignments from Mrs. West and helping her. She would be so sick, but always ask for her work for the following day as soon as I got home. But she had been absent so many days that Mother withdrew her from the class in the spring. That fall, Evelyn was allowed to go to second grade and never had any academic problems. I always looked forward to school, and there were a lot of very nice teachers. The superintendent of the city school was a Mr. Hofrider. He had a daughter, Doris, who was my age, and we became good friends. Mr. Hofrider left in a couple of years and accepted a job in Birmingham. I miss Doris and her family. Mrs. Hofrider was an exceptionally nice lady. Mr. Laird was the next superintendent of schools and stayed in Piedmont several years. Mr. Buchanan came to be principal about the same time. He also taught algebra and geometry. We all liked both men, but privately we fondly called Mr. Buchanan Bucky. One day in class, he told us that he knew that we called him Bucky, and it was okay as long as it did not get into classroom. He was a bachelor and married a lady from another town while he was here. She became Evelyn's first piano teacher. He and Mrs. Buchanan became members of the First Baptist Church where I attend. The summer I was age 14, I formally made a public commitment on my personal belief in our Lord Jesus Christ. Although I had always felt His presence in my life, I knew I had to follow His teachings of profession of faith. So during a revival in that summer, I was led to know that this was the time. Soon afterwards, in August 1933, I was baptized by Pastor Brother S.H. Penley. In 1928, the mill built a beautiful YMCA, complete with auditorium and gymnasium, library, large banquet room, kitchen, had a lot of programs for all age groups. Today, this beautiful building belongs to City Piedmont and is our civic center. The teenagers had a lot of picnics in the summer and thought nothing of walking anywhere from 4 to 6 miles to a creek to swim. We had a lot of fun, got terrible sunburns. At that time, getting a tan, no matter how painful, was considered healthy. Now people know the danger of overexposure to the sun.